You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
I recently came across this sermon clip from Francis Chan. Maybe you've heard of him before. He's a preacher, a pastor, he's an author. Maybe you've heard his sermons before, read his books. He's great. If you don't know Francis Chan, you should look him up. I love his teaching. He's fantastic. But in this sermon, he shared about when some Mormon missionaries came to his door. And not only could I relate to what he shared, but I think there's just so much to learn from this. So first of all, if you're a Mormon or you've been listening to the Unveiling Mormonism podcast, you've been sitting on the fence, I really encourage you to listen to what he said to these Mormon missionaries, because I love what he said, and I love the spirit in which he says it, by the way. I think it's great. So first, for those of you who are maybe coming out of Mormonism or investigating evangelical Christianity, I think this episode's going to be great for you. But actually, this episode's great for everybody, because make sure to listen all the way to the end, because for those of you who are evangelical Christians out there, Francis Chan has a point for you to consider. So I do want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to how he interacted with Mormon missionaries, what he said to them, all that stuff, yes. But more than that, I want to make sure that you listen to the end and take away the lesson that each and every one of us needs to take away. Even if we're already saved followers of Jesus, I think there's something for everyone here.
They knocked on my door and we started talking. You'd think they'd have my address like on a blacklist or something, but...
Okay, this is funny because this actually happened to me. My wife and I moved to Utah 28 years ago to plant a church, eventually to plant a church. And we had this happen to us. Mormon missionaries came to our door. This is how they're organized. Mormons are very, very organized. So they have everyone's address. They know who's new to the neighborhood, especially in Utah. Mormon missionaries came and sat and gave us the talks for like 6 months. I think it happened another time a few years later, but then we eventually moved to a different neighborhood. Now, normally Mormon missionaries would have come to our door in that new neighborhood, but I think what had happened is that at this point, our church, Alpine Church in Utah, was big and established and people knew about us. I think at this point, people knew our names. They knew that we were not convertible, that it wasn't going to be helpful for them to go to our door. So we never actually had Mormon missionaries ever come to our door at our new house. And we've lived in our new house for like almost 20 years. Now, again, I'm not trying to throw Mormons under the bus. I don't think they're doing that because they don't love us. I think they're doing it probably to respect us and, you know, to kind of not waste their time, to be honest. So I'm not trying to be negative towards Mormons when I say that they never came to our new house. But it is interesting because just a couple of months ago, we ran into some Mormon missionaries while we were taking a walk. So they didn't know who we were. And we got to talking and they said, could we come by sometime? And we said, heck yes. And so we finally did have missionaries come to our house. And that was super interesting because I think at that point now they realized once they did come to our house, they realized who we were. It was great and not so great. I feel like they didn't really want to come back once they realized who I was, what I did for a living. I really tried to be loving. I wanted them to come back. I wanted to have more conversations with them. And I have to admit, I wasn't as kind and loving and gracious as you're going to hear that Francis Chan was. Anyway, I say that to my shame. So let's keep listening.
They came to my door. And, you know, and two very nice guys come to my door, knock on the door, and we just start talking. We talk for about half an hour. You know, we just engage in a conversation.
By the way, I do encourage you, if you're a Christian listening to this, invite Mormon missionaries in. I think it's really helpful and try to be loving toward them. Now, they used to give, you know, Mormon missionaries are really, really well-trained. They're going to give you, I think it's 5 talks, maybe 6. You can put it in the comments if you know. I think it's down to 5 talks. They're going to try to come back for 5 consecutive weeks. They have very, very specific things that they want to share with you. And nowadays, what they share with you sounds very, very Christian. It doesn't sound very Mormon. So what Francis Chan is going to explain really proves that this video is an old video clip. This was years ago, the kinds of stuff that they would have shared back then. Today, if you invite Mormon missionaries into your house, it's going to sound very Christian. Just be aware of that.
And I told them, my struggle is, if you started with this, would you ever come up with your belief system?
Now, this is the point of his sermon illustration. He's holding his Bible up. If you start with the Bible, would you have come up with your belief system? If you say that to a Mormon missionary today, I think that might be a little bit confusing to them, because Mormon missionaries don't start with the Bible. They start with Joseph Smith. They start with the Book of Mormon. Remember, Mormons don't believe that the Bible is translated correctly. Now, they don't have the correct translation. Joseph Smith didn't provide them with that. But they do have this asterisk in their mind that we can't trust the Bible. So what Francis Chan's about to say, and I think there's some really good stuff, especially if you're coming out of Mormonism, really listen to what he has to say. I hope you'll receive what he's saying. I hope you'll receive the spirit in which he's saying it and the challenge that he's sharing with you. But the truth of the matter is, most Mormons don't really place a lot of value on the Bible, at least not relative to the kind of value they place on the Book of Mormon.
And I said, okay, so you believe that God has a father, and that that father has a father, and he has a father. So there's a great-grandfather God, great-great-great-grandfather God, right? And they said, yes, we believe that there's a whole lineage of them.
Now, this, by the way, is not something that they would share with you in one of their five talks. This is not a part of the conversation, because it sounds so not Christian. And Mormons are trying to look more and more Christians these days. Now, if you were to ask them about that, they might say what Francis Chan is saying. Maybe they would say, yes, we believe that. But to be honest, a lot of Mormon missionaries nowadays might be like, I don't really know. That's kind of a fringe thing. I don't really know what you're talking about. It's not as central today as it was 20 years ago or whenever Chan is, you know, telling this story.
And I said, okay, so where's grandfather right now? And they go, we're not worried about him. He's somewhere, but we're not worried about him. And I go, okay. And they all became God, like they weren't God to begin with. No, they weren't God to begin with. They became God.
Again, this is an actual teaching in the Mormon church, but you're going to have to dig quite a bit on their official LDS website to find this anywhere. Because when you go to the front page of the LDS website, so much of it sounds very, very Christian. It's very friendly. It's very Jesus-centered, but it's not. You know, these kinds of statements that Francis Chan made to these Mormon missionaries, they're not front and center, and they're certainly not going to be offered up by the Mormon missionaries who come to your door this week.
And so there's just this lineage. So Jesus became God, and God the Father became God, and you guys are going to become gods. And they're like, yes. And I said, are you gods right now? And they're like, no, we're sons of God. And I go, but you believe that you're eternal. I go, so were you eternally sons of God? He goes, no, eternally we were just some sort of matter. And then at some point we're given a soul, and then we're given a body, and then we're going to become like God is now.
So again, Francis Chan knows more about Mormonism, so he's bringing this kind of stuff into the conversation. And this is something that Mormon missionaries would know and would understand. This is basic enough that they would be able to articulate this, that Mormons believe in the pre-existence, that we all existed as spirit children of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. This is actually what Mormons believe. And then at some point we get a body, which is why Mormons have such big families, by the way, is because Mormons want to release people from the pre-existence into the ability to progress to godhood. Okay, now again, you're not going to hear this in the first five lessons, but this is actually traditionally what Mormonism teaches. You're not going to really see this on the front page at the Mormon website because it sounds a little bit strange to a Baptist or a Methodist. So they're not going to highlight any of these things. But if you ask them these questions, they will know about the pre-existence. They will know about the idea of eternal progression, but they're probably not going to articulate it exactly the way that these missionaries articulated it to Francis Chan, because I think they kind of are a little bit more squishy these days. Not because the Mormon missionaries are trying to be, it's just that that's how it was presented to them. These are not big main points that you should be sharing with someone that you're trying to convert. So a Mormon missionary is not going to do that.
And I said, oh, gosh, it's so hard to get from this book. I go, if I read this book, I would think that God was eternal. There's just one God that's always been, and that he didn't change, that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Again, if he says that to a Mormon missionary today, they would probably be like, yeah, it's not just this one book. They would say, see, we have all these other books, right? Mormons have these four books that they consider to be scripture. They call it the quad, right? So they do have, of course, the Bible, King James Version. They have the Book of Mormon. They have the Pearl of Great Price, and they have the Doctrine and Covenants. So those other three things are scripture just as much as the Bible is scripture. In fact, it's scripture more than the Bible is scripture, because they don't claim that those other works of scripture are translated incorrectly, right? So they think the Bible's translated incorrectly, but those other three aren't. So really, in essence, the other three standard works are higher than the Bible, and certainly the Book of Mormon is the highest for every Mormon.
That he always was God. And there's just one. I mean, I would just naturally, like you read, I don't know how you can make it any clearer. And I said, so that's my struggle with this. And I said, let's take the issue of even some of the other beliefs that you have. I go, let's take blacks. I go, you guys didn't allow blacks into the priesthood until when? And he said, 1979.
Now, by the way, I don't think anymore it would even be helpful. I don't bring up blacks in the priesthood. When I was meeting with these missionaries, I didn't bring that up, because my guess is that they're probably taught that if somebody throws blacks in the priesthood in your face, it's true. Everything Francis Chan says here is true, that the God changed his mind in 1979. All that stuff is true. But if you were to say that to a Mormon missionary, the missionaries would probably be like, oh, this is a hater. Okay, this is one of those guys. So I really try to steer away from that anymore, because they don't, I mean, these missionaries weren't around in 1979. This has nothing to do with them. And it probably isn't going to advance the conversation. It's probably not going to be helpful to bring this up. But Chan brought this up 20 or 30 years ago, and maybe it was a little bit helpful. Listen to how he articulated this.
I said, because you believe they were cursed by God, right? He goes, yeah, that was the mark of God's curse, was their black skin. And I said, okay, well, now how about me? I said, I'm not black. I mean, summer I get pretty dark, you know. But you know, just honestly, I go, seriously, I go, what shade of black, you know? And they said, well, any shade. I said, so the whiter you are, you know, the more pure. He goes, yeah, any color showed that there was some of that in your background and showed that you were part of those who received this curse from God.
This is legit. This is actually in their scriptures. It's not in the Bible, obviously. It's in their scriptures. So this is definitely something that they have taught in the past. But again, modern day Mormons do not believe this anymore. So I don't think it's worth bringing up and throwing in their face. That's just my opinion.
And I said, and isn't it strange to you that ban was lifted in 1979, you know, after they're like, no, it makes perfect sense to me.
And here's why it would make perfect sense to a Mormon, because Mormons believe in like progressive revelation in a different way than a Christian might say that. Christian might say that, you know, God revealed a certain amount in the Old Testament, and then when Jesus came, the full revelation came, because it was all about Jesus. So if a Christian says progressive revelation, that's probably what they're talking about. Mormons believe actually that God reveals himself to the one living prophet. Mormons always have one prophet, kind of like the Catholics have one pope. And he's a spokesman for God. And when he speaks in an official capacity, what he says is essentially scripture. Like, you can take it like you take scripture. Now, Christians don't believe that. Christians, you know, those who go to my church, Alpine Church in Utah, they're not like what Pastor Brian says is up on par with God's word. Like, so he can change. If he says, look, the Book of Mark is no longer valid for us today, then, you know, my church would be like, you need to go, you're fired, right? Because we believe God's word is the authority. We don't believe that my words as the pastor, even the founding pastor, even the senior pastor, my words are not the authority. Mormons actually believe that the prophet, the living prophet, is God's mouthpiece, and that if he speaks, that you got to listen, and he can then, I think Muslims call it abrogation, that if the new prophet says something, then it overrules what the old prophet said, which is why blacks in the priesthood are a thing now since 1979, because all of a sudden God, through the prophet, said it's a thing now, even though they've got 100 years of it not being a thing, now it is a thing. So again, Mormons do not have a high view of scripture, but what Francis Chan's point is this doesn't make sense to me, because Francis Chan does have a high view of scripture. By the way, I think this is a great approach to talk to Mormons, is to say, let's just look at the Bible together. Let's see what the Bible says. I think let a Mormon missionary or a Mormon friend or neighbor understand that you really do trust scripture. Make sure you can explain why you trust scripture. And then the more you, I think, demonstrate that you're in love with the Word of God, the more maybe your Mormon friends or neighbors or even missionaries that come, maybe the more that they would begin to wonder, I wonder why I don't have that kind of love for the Word of God. So maybe it could be a little contagious, right? I think that's how Francis Chan is trying to articulate this.
And I can't get that. I can't get that from here. Like again, they go, no, you can make it. I said, I can't get your Book of Mormon and mixing this together. He goes, oh yeah, you can, if you could see the big picture. We went into all different issues.
Again, they would probably today, they would say, yeah, you just need to read the Bible with Joseph Smith's footnotes, which is what their Bibles have, by the way. It has Joseph Smith's footnotes to try to help explain away some of those passages. I actually remember when we first moved to Utah, we went to the Mormon History Museum, which is down at Temple Square, right across the street from the Tabernacle and the Temple in Salt Lake. And I remember at the time, I don't think this is true anymore, but they actually had Joseph Smith's Bible on display in a case. And I'm pretty sure it was open to the Book of Philippians. And it literally had parts of verses or sections of Philippians crossed out by Joseph Smith's pen. I couldn't believe that they had that on display, which is why I don't think they would anymore, because I think any Christian seeing that would be like, how dare you, right? But I think that that's really how Mormons thought of it. They thought of it, at least back then, I don't know if Mormons today would think of it that way, but they thought of the Bible as, look, it's only as good as it was translated correctly. And so Joseph Smith's version, since he was a prophet at the time, Joseph Smith's version was helpful to see him cross out verses and annotate stuff. Anyway, it's shocking to know that that's how Mormons view the Bible.
I even had my daughter. I go, you know, honey, you got to come listen to this, because I wanted her to learn. I go, I want you to understand, you know. And we're going back and forth. I go, here's my problem: is I would never just read this and then put it down and go, okay, I need to become God. I need to, go in the succession and everything else. I would just think, no, there's this creator who just made me, and I just bow down to him. I just worship him and this Jesus. It's all about him.
I think this is a great approach with Mormons. If you're a Christian watching this saying, how do I talk to a Mormon missionary? How do I talk to my Mormon friends or neighbors or family members? I think it's point them to Jesus. You know, one of the things that we hear in our church so much from Mormons who come to our church and become followers of Jesus, come to faith in Jesus. And by the way, we never talk about Mormonism in our church services, because we don't want to be that kind of a church. We just talk about Jesus. And we have Mormons say all the time to us, man, I never knew this about Jesus. I I've gone to the Mormon church my whole life, and you talked about Jesus in one sermon more than I learned about Jesus in a lifetime in the Mormon church. I mean, truly. Now, again, maybe today's Mormonism is different. They're trying to be, I think, a little bit more Jesus-centered. I think they're trying to look more Christian. So they're borrowing a lot of things from Christian churches, which I think is a great thing. I heard that they're letting Mormons read other translations beside the King James Version. I think that's fantastic, because hopefully Mormons will pick up the New Living Translation or the NIV or something like that and start reading the Bible in a way that they can understand it. And God's word is powerful. And who knows, I actually think that more and more Mormons are going to come to a saving knowledge of the real Jesus even before they leave the Mormon church. That's just my prediction.
And I'm not going to become like him one day. You know, there'll be, you know, this sense in which I'm given a new body in this. Yeah, but I wouldn't come up with this whole theology if I started with this. Sure, you can take this verse here and this verse here and mix it all and create this theology, but you'd never if you started this way. It was no different than some Jehovah's Witnesses that came to my door. And when they were, I go, here's my struggle. I go, again, and you guys, I go, man, I like you guys. I'm not trying to be facetious here or whatever else. I'm just trying to understand how you think.
I love the heart that Francis Chan is demonstrating for us. Honestly, I wish I would have seen this clip before I invited the Mormon missionaries over to my house recently. Because I try to have this heart of love, and I love you guys. I care about you guys. You're a nice guy. You seem like nice guys. I always try to start that way. But man, there's something in me when they start teaching like stuff out of the Book of Mormon, I have such a hard time. Maybe I just need a little bit more self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, but I just have a heart. I get fired up. I don't get angry. I don't start calling them names. I would never do that. But I just start getting really fueled up and fired up and maybe a little bit preachy. And I actually like Francis Chan's approach better. I like that he's just asking questions. I think this is how Jesus would do it with a Mormon. Just ask them questions. Show them that you love them, that you really care about them, and that you just want to try to understand where they're coming from, and you want them to understand where you're coming from. And where you're coming from is a different place, because where you're coming from is you trust the Bible and you love Jesus. And I think that's what Francis Chan did a really good job with both the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons.
I go, because you guys are teaching that Jesus is one of the archangels. You know, you're teaching that Jesus is the same person as Michael.
This, by the way, isn't what Mormons believe. This is what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. He'll get back to Mormons in a second.
The archangel in the Old Testament? And explain, but Michael was just one of the chief princes. And then showed him Daniel 10:13, where it says that Michael was one of the chief princes. And he goes, well, I never noticed that. I go, well, now that you notice, I mean, what does that do? I go, here again. My point is not, here, let me show you this, or let me question this one detail about your theology. My point is you'd never open this book, read it from cover to cover 20 times, and go, you know what? Jesus is Michael the Archangel. You'd never get that. Seriously, it's not like something that's not what you're going to get, just like you're not going to get, you know, the whole succession of gods and on and on and on. That's not what you would come to. What would you come to through exegesis, through reading this book and just going, okay, what's the truth? See, and I told him, look, you guys grew up, I go, I feel bad for you. You grew up in a system. You were told this way, and I can't imagine how hard it would be for you tonight to get by yourself, not even the two of you together, just alone with God. I don't think you really believe this when you're alone. And I said that, I go, I can't imagine you really do before the Holy Spirit, before the scriptures, just you alone. Could you please just consider getting alone and reading this book and studying this book and being open to the Holy Spirit, saying whatever it says, I'm going to do and I'm going to obey. We just try that rather than the system you were brought into.
This is a great challenge for any Mormons or maybe even Jehovah's Witnesses who are listening to this episode. I hope you hear what Francis Chan is saying. Open the Bible for yourself. Try to put away your preconceived notions about who is Jesus, which Jehovah's Witnesses have some ideas that are definitely not in the Bible. Mormons have ideas that are definitely not in the Bible. All the Mormons who come to our church who end up coming to faith in Jesus and become Christians, they're like, man, the biggest thing was understanding what a biblical picture of Jesus is. Now, we try to be loving and kind as we explain that. If you've missed some of the previous episodes at Unveiling Mormonism, check that out. We've got stuff on who is Jesus. Who do the Mormons teach that Jesus is? But what does the Bible teach about Jesus? So if you're a Mormon, you really have to be willing to open the Bible, trust it, trust that it is translated correctly, because it is. It really is. And then really try to read it, not through a Mormon lens, not through a Joseph Smith lens, not through the lens that you were taught in Mormonism, but humbly go to God's word, the Bible, and read it without any of those filters on, and see what it says about Jesus. See what it says about God. see what it says about salvation. See what it says about works. I mean, we talk about all these things all the time on this podcast, but even more importantly than listening to the podcast, read the Bible for yourself. Open the Word and allow God's Word to convict you and challenge you. So that's the message to anyone who is maybe on the fence, coming out of Mormonism, considering coming out of Mormonism. I know it's a really hard thing to do. I know it's a big step. I know you might be sacrificing some things to do it, but I really would challenge you to read the Bible and see if you would come up with what Joseph Smith came up with if you just simply read the Bible. Now, that's the message for Mormons, but I told you at the very beginning that there's actually another message for Christians, because Francis Chan isn't preaching to a bunch of Mormons. He's preaching to a bunch of Christians, and he just used this whole thing, talking about these Mormons coming to his door, he used this whole thing to actually challenge Christians based on the kind of culture that they grew up in, some of the things that they practice as Christians that might not necessarily be biblical. So I thought it'd be fun to let him finish that challenge, and we'll let some of the Christians listening to this take this to heart as well.
That's a really difficult thing to do when you're brought up a certain way. Now, we'll listen to those examples, and you'll go, right on, right on, right on, okay. But now I want to challenge your upbringing. Even in the evangelical church, even what we're doing right now, because this is what I've been struggling with for the last couple of years.
For those of you who don't know, Francis Chan was a successful pastor in California. He built a great big megachurch, and then he realized, reading the Bible, he realized he's just got a bunch of consumers in his church. And so he actually quit the megachurch, and now he writes books for people who go to megachurches. That's a good explanation. Now, that's not his heart. His heart is to really try to live out biblically. I think he started like a house church movement, and not sure where all that is anymore, but this is what he's talking about. I love that he's eating his own cooking here, that he's challenging Mormons to read the Bible with fresh eyes, not thinking about a filter. And then he becomes a successful pastor of a megachurch, and he's reading the Bible and realizing, I don't know if this is biblical the way we're doing church. I've had to wrestle with that in my own church. This is why we built PursueGod.org. Yes, I pastor a church. You could call it a megachurch. It's multi-site. But I pastor the church, but we're really, all the time, we're saying, what is our job? What is our mission? How did the early church make disciples? Let's make disciples that way. How do we overlay what God's word says onto our church? How do we map that out into our church? And are we being biblical or not? So we've wrestled with this, and really where we've landed is our church is all about making disciple makers. We're not trying to raise up a bunch of consumer Christians, even though we get a lot of consumer Christians. Just like Francis Chan, all of his books are bought by consumer Christians. Every time he goes to a conference, you've probably heard him speak at conferences, he's speaking to a bunch of consumer Christians. I appreciate that he's doing it. He's trying to bring these kinds of messages. He's trying to tell people, don't just be a consumer Christian. That's not biblical. It's not biblical to just go to church and then never make a disciple. Like, that's not what a Christian was in the early church. Every Christian in the early church felt a personal responsibility to be an ambassador for Jesus, to share Jesus with neighbors and friends, and they were on mission in the early church. This is what we're trying to do as a church. This is why we've built the Pursue God tools. This is why we put out episodes every week on the Unveiling Mormonism podcast, because we want to share the gospel with people around us. We want to make disciples. We don't want just a cul-de-sac of comfortable Christians coming to church week in and week out, opening their Bibles for 30 minutes and then closing them and putting it on a shelf. No, we want to be biblical, Christ-centered followers of Jesus. And I think that's what Francis Chan's after as well.
If I started with Scripture, let's be fair. Let's be fair to everyone. Let's be fair to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Let's be fair to the Mormons. And let's look at ourselves and go, if you started with this book, is this the type of gathering you would have come up with?
That is a great question for every Christian to chew on. A little surprise ending, right? Because We're on the Unveiling Mormonism podcast. We're talking to Mormons, helping them to look at the Bible, read the Bible with fresh new eyes. But you know what? I think every single follower of Jesus needs to do the same thing.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.